Since we have seen some of the benefits of the functional design, and we have seen some of the other designs like product design, geographic division design and all, we'll go through some of their benefits and pitfalls individually. For product design, the benefits can be, it permits fast changes as the product line. Naturally, since for a particular product, we have got expert in that particular product and all the support staff is also there for that particular product itself. Naturally, if we want to have some change in that product line, those people, experts are there with us, so it will permit fast changes in a product line. It allows greater product line visibility because there is a separate person, marketing expert in that particular product. So naturally he can work towards more visibility of that particular product all over the world in a way. It fosters concern for customer demand. So whatever customer demands for that particular product, one can concentrate on them and then develop the changes in that product if required. It clearly defines responsibilities for each product line so that for every product we have got separate responsibility and accountability of these people who are reporting to the CEO of the company in a way, and it develops managers who can think across functional lines. While potential pitfalls can be, it does not allow efficient utilization of all the skills and resources. Since we have got HR manager for one particular product, if his function is not enough utilized for that particular product, he may be sitting idle. He may be, you can actually use him for some other product, but because of this product design, you are not able to use him somewhere else. Not fostering coordination of activities across product. You do not coordinate different products activity here because individual product is different, and in for particular product we have got all different kinds of people working only towards that product. It encourages politics and conflicts in a resource allocation across product lines. Since there are multiple products and there are people different for different products, it will encourage politics and conflicts so that more resource allocation one product line will get. That's what people will try to achieve. And it limits career mobility for personnel outside their own product lines. Since people are working only for one particular product line, say suppose somebody is working for surf detergent powder, he will not be working towards any other product of that particular company also. When he is working for powder, he won't be there for bars, he won't be there for any other product like say shampoo, suppose they are producing. So because of this, there is very narrow specialization of that person and his career mobility will be difficult. Suppose that particular product becomes obsolete due to some new substitute has come which is much better, much cheaper. In that case, for that person to change over to another product will be very difficult. Geographic departmentalization, as I told you, will be under CEO. There can be East region, South region, Midwest region, Rocky Mount region, Western region, etc. It can be under each, again there will be accounts, human resource, manufacturing, research development, quality control. So what are the potential benefits and pitfalls? Benefits will be, it has got facilities and equipment used for production and or distribution all in one place itself, which will save time because otherwise that equipment has to be shifted from one place to other. Transportation is consuming lot of time. At the same time, it can involve lot of cost for that. But here, because of geographical distribution of the geographical design distribution, you are having all the equipments placed in that particular region itself, which is readily available for production of that particular product or giving those services. It's, one is able to develop expertise in solving all the problems which can be unique to that particular location, because the culture of people in a particular area may be different. For example, in South, if they are going for consumer food, then mostly they are using the products which are made of rice or rava. While in North, it is more of wheat. So, because of the cultural aspect also, we know what are the some of the rituals which they are following, what are the type of food they love, what are the things they avoid. So, because of that, we have got expert people already living in that area and who have been brought up in that area, so they know exactly what are the unique problems for that particular location and they can solve it very easily and prevent many problems whenever possible. Gaining an understanding of customers' problems and desires will be very easy because of this design, and getting production which is closer to raw materials and suppliers will be easy because there is no need to ship raw materials from one region of the country to the other region. All the things will be available within that region and it's easy for transport and the time lag will be much less. While potential pitfall can be duplication of functions will be there to varying degree at each region or individual unit location whereby they cannot be utilized for any other location. There will be conflict between each location's goals and the organization's goals as a whole. Each location will think that my location should come first. We are not thinking about the whole organization there because of this design. It can add levels of management and extensive use of rules and regulations to coordinate and ensure uniformity of quality among all the locations, which is very difficult because there are multiple levels of management. They may be getting little different type of implements and other things because of the city compensatory allowance also, and their culture is different, and hence to come everybody to come together and to follow the same kind of regulations will be really difficult for getting the uniformity and the same quality products and services among all the locations. Now, customer departmentalization can be CEO, under him there will be government accounts, military accounts, corporate accounts, small business accounts and non-profit accounts. Like this, we can have different customers and different kinds of accounting people for different customers. Similarly, we can have process departmentalization where we can have under CEO, there is casting, press, tube, finishing, inspection, packing and shipping. Here you can see the under CEO, there is Tide detergent, so Crest toothpaste, deodorant, peanut butter, Folger coffee. Under toothpaste there will be manufacturing, under manufacturing again casting, press, tube, finishing, etc. So this is a combination of specialization for a particular product. Under manufacturing again there will be different processes. So let's understand what we have learned up till now. In summary, the key design questions and answers to proper organization structure, if we see, the key design question can be, to what degree are the tasks divided into separate jobs? That will tell us about work specialization. On what basis these jobs will be grouped together? That will tell us about departmentalization. To whom the individuals and groups are reporting? That will be shown by the chain of command. How many individuals can a manager effectively and efficiently direct so that they are giving us the right results for the organization is span of control. What does decision making line, whether top management is taking the decisions or at the peripheral level it is taken, that will be shown by centralization and decentralization. To what degree will there be rules and regulations to direct the employees and managers? That will tell us whether everything is formalized or not. Formalization tells us that exactly whether we have got the pan organization proper regulations made, what exactly is expected for the people to do. There are certain codes of conduct, there are certain standard operating procedures, etc. So all those things will come under formalization. So whether the organization is highly formalized or not, or there are people have got liberty to work in their own way, that will be shown by formalization. So when you establish the decision making hierarchy, whether the organization is centralized organization or decentralized organization, where the top management are holding most of the decision making authority, it is centralized organization, while in case of lower level managers are holding significant decision making authority, they are the decentralized organization. In today's world, more and more organizations are becoming decentralized organization because of the liberalization, privatization and globalization, mainly the globalization, where multinational level companies are having in different locations all the functions to be done, and there are different national cultures and the regional cultures in a particular country also, whereby decentralized decisions will be much more beneficial to the organization as a whole, and hence there are more decentralized organizations coming up today. Why decentralization is important? Because it reduces the workload at the top level. Otherwise, it's very difficult for the people working in the head office to look after all the regions. For example, if the head office is in Bombay and there are multiple offices in multiple regions all over the world, say in north, south, east, west in India, then in far east countries like Singapore, Malaysia, etc., there is a branch. In US, in China, they have got a branch. Then how to look after and control everything all over the world will be very difficult for the top management sitting in Bombay, because personally they cannot control it well. So it reduces workload for the top management. It will lead to quick decision making. Otherwise, lot of time gap will be there between the time some question arises in some remote location, and then they forward it to their top management, they forward it to their regional management, they forward it to the top management in the head office, and then they take the decision, which is again percolating down through various levels, and then only one can act on that particular problem. So naturally it will lead to delayed decision making, while in decentralization at the peripheral level itself, the decisions can be taken by those people to solve the problem. By decentralization, what we are giving the authority to the peripheral level managers, which increases their motivation. It will lead to harmony among all the people, and overall development of the personnel will occur, because since they are involved in solving the problems at their location rather than everything being going to the top management, here they can analyze the problem, find out the problems, reasons through the local problems that are more likely to be there, and they can sort out these problems in much better way, which will lead to development of these personnel in team building, in problem solving skills, in leadership skill, in analytical skills, etc. It will lead to diversification of the products and activities, because based on the location, certain activities will be better to be performed, because if the political interference is too much, certain activities you can't do, while in some locations, if the political activities are such where they are giving liberty to for you to do certain things, then you can do it there. So it will improve the diversification of the products, activities, and your markets will also improve. So your market share is likely to be improved because of decentralization, because you are sorting out the problems very fast for that particular market. And overall, it is easy for effective control. So what is the most common design which is seen in organization? In the newer products, whenever some organization is starting, naturally, in case of a smaller organization, a newer organization, the simple structure is there, which is not very elaborate, because few friends are coming together and these entrepreneurs are starting some new factory or some manufacturing activity or some service activity. Now here are less number of people, so they may be doing multi-skilling, so there is going to be, the structure of this organization is not going to be very elaborate, there will be low degree of departmentalization, there will be larger span of control, more number of workers will be looked after by supervisors, individual supervisors. There will be centralized authority, top management will be having all the decision making power. Very low formalization will be there, because it's not possible in case of a small new organization to have absolutely legal things to be done, absolutely SOPs to be formulated and executed. So, in case of small retail outlet, in case of small law firm, usually simple organization is there. The advantage will be, it is very simple. Usually the top people are taking all the decisions. So, fast decision making will be there. There may be flexibility because multi-skilling may be done by people. It is going to be inexpensive because there are not many people working for this organization as a specialization in various things. There will be clear accountability, who is supposed to be doing what, clear cut, everybody knows. The other kind of organizational design is bureaucratic structure, then matrix, virtual and boundaryless organization. We are going to look into these organizations in detail. So, what is Weber's ideal bureaucracy? So, bureaucratic organization, if we see, has got these components. One is absolute division of labor. There is authority hierarchy. There is formal selection. There is formal rules and regulations. Impersonality is there and career orientation is there. These are the six basic elements which are seen in bureaucratic organization. Weber has given this kind of organization. Now let's go into these elements into little more details. Division of labor means jobs are broken down into simple, routine and well-defined tasks, so that individual small part of the task is done by somebody who becomes expert in that. Authority hierarchy, where we have got positions which are organized in a hierarchy with a clear chain of command, top to down. We know exactly who is reporting to whom, and when the communication goes also will be as per that chain of command, and order will be given as per that scalar chain. Formal selection will be there, where people are selected for jobs based on their technical qualifications, and merit based recruitment and selection will be there. There are formal rules and regulations, that means systems of writing rules and standard operating procedures are there in this organization. Impersonality, that is uniform application of rules and controls will be there, which is not according to any VIPs that will break the rules for them and all. Absolutely merit based. Career orientation will be there, where managers are career professionals, not owners of the units they are managing, and hence in this kind of organization usually uniformity is there, scalar chain is there, only one boss is giving the orders to one subordinate, so smoothly the function will be done. We know exactly what is to be expected out of these employees, and it will be easy to forecast how the work will be done in this organization, so that in case you want to take an order for a customer, you know that this much of production we can easily make because we have got standard operating procedures, we have got experts in a particular field, so many workers are there and they are going to remain present. Little bit more formal things are there. Even in today's world, this kind of Weber's bureaucracy is seen in the KPOs and BPOs, where the function is controlled very well at the top level by people, where each and every call that a call center person is sitting on the computer is giving. Everything is formalized. At every third ring, they are supposed to pick up the phone. Within 3 minutes, they are supposed to complete their call. They are not supposed to use any abusive language to the customer, even though the customer may be using abusive language. So there are specific rules and regulations, standard operating procedures formulated for them. So even today, Weber's bureaucracy is used, and it has been used in most of the government organizations as well. So let's understand what are the advantages of bureaucracy type of organization. First and foremost, it will lead to specialization of work, and hence people working by division of labor, and they will become expert in that particular field. And since the rules and regulations are clear cut, standard operating procedures are clear cut, they will work exactly like the previous person. So not much of supervision also will be needed because of this specialization. The employee behavior will be highly consistent because of that. It will be highly predictable. It will facilitate the manager to implement any project that is taken by the manager, and even for future, if he wants to take any project, he knows exactly what is to be expected out of these employees because of their specialization, because of their consistency in their work. As far as the structure is concerned, we will be having fixed duties for particular people. They will be doing that particular duty only. The responsibilities will be clear cut, and there will be smooth relationship among the employees because there is no role ambiguity. People know what is the roles they are supposed to play, what exactly are their responsibilities and accountability. They know because of this bureaucratic structure. There is no conflict whatsoever, and there is no privilege given to anybody. All the kinds of recruitment, promotions, the work to be given, the location to be given, everything is based on merit. It is totally democratic. It will advance the decisions as the criteria are totally fixed. And there is optimum utilization of all human resource technical competence. We have got knowledgeable employees, highly competent people with us who are specialized in their field, and they are doing totally as per the requirement. So merit is the only thing which is going to be considered in this kind of organization, and hence there will be right worker for the right job to be performed. And this will lead to perpetual succession also, because whatever has been done by the earlier people will be done by the next people, because everybody knows exactly what is expected because of the standard operating procedures that are formulated. The HR policies are also very clear cut, and it is being communicated to everybody clearly.